life, I plan not to be on this corner. I still want to see California, but this is my world.
Ladies and gentlemen, I welcome you to this very special edition of the It's Your World podcast presented by Team Media. For more information about the team, visit our website, www.theteam.media, or on social media, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, at The Team LLC. This show is also available on your favorite podcast streaming service, including iTunes, Stitcher, Google, Spotify, Amazon. Honestly, and the list grows every single week. So wherever you get your favorite podcast content, please be sure to look us up, Thompson Entertainment and Media. So tonight I have the first of what I hope will be a series of sit-down conversations with candidates running for public office. I could not be more excited than to introduce to you our guest tonight. She is someone that I just came into knowledge of, I want to say a few weeks ago, actually via her campaign flyer. And, you know, I like to sometimes call politicians on their promise that, you know, I'm always going to be available for you guys. I'm just a phone call away. And wouldn't you know, after a really short email conversation, that she contacted me and she was willing to do this sit down to talk about her candidacy, her policies, and really, you know, allow me to introduce her to my audience. So for that alone, I am humbled. I am grateful. And again, I could not be more excited to introduce her to you. She's a wonderful, wonderful human being. And I'm sure over the next 30 minutes, you're going to have more than enough incentive to vote her in to the City Council District 1 position in San Ramon. So we're going to take a quick break, and then I'm going to come back and introduce this phenomenal woman to you. Keep it tuned here.
America, your children have an amazing superpower. That's right. They can help save lives by simply washing their hands. Just 20 seconds of thorough hand washing after they've coughed or sneezed or been outside can help fight against the dastardly spread of germs. Armed with only soap and water and hands, your superhero can protect you, your family, and everyone out there in America land. Amazing! Find out more at coronavirus.gov. A message from the CDC and the Ad Council.
So my guest is a candidate running for the District 1 City Council seat here in San Ramon. She's currently serving on the County Health Department as a COVID-19 case and contract tracer and has a career serving the needs and citizens of Contra Costa County and San Ramon. She's a wife, a mother of three, and a proud San Ramon resident who immigrated from Colombia over 40 years ago. Hers is the quintessential American success story. So as Election Day looms, I wanted to sit down with this phenomenal woman to talk about her life, her career in public service, and her candidacy. So it is my honor to introduce to you Luz Gomez. How are you doing today, Luz?
Thank you, Daniel. It's such an honor to have an opportunity to speak on your show. I am doing well. I wish that the air quality was a little better, and it's definitely one of the things that concerns me, frankly, yeah, as a candidate as well.
Absolutely. And for sure, we will definitely touch on your feelings and your vision about, you know, environmental qualities here in San Ramon. So I do want to discuss, I guess, some of what you see as the pressing issues San Ramon voters should be mindful of with this upcoming election. And also, you know, where you stand on those issues and, you know, how your positions differ from your opponent. But before we jump into all that deep stuff, let's learn a little bit more about you. And, you know, as you think about your life and your journey, you know, immigrating to the U.S. from Colombia at a relatively young age, I think you were a teenager, you know, then going on to graduate from University of California's educational system. And then, you know, your transition into a life of public service, you know, what lessons and experiences would you say have been most pivotal for you?
Yeah, thank you. That's a really good question. When I look back on my life, I feel that I have been extremely fortunate to have had the values of serving and giving back instilled in me from a young age. Also, the values of protecting the environment. When I was growing up in Colombia, I saw firsthand poverty and hunger and malnutrition. And I remember thinking to myself, there's something wrong with the world, and I want to do something to make it better. My grandpa was a big environmental advocate in Colombia. He actually founded some of the first national parks in Colombia.
Oh, wow.
And because of that, I think that streak of environmentalism and protecting our world is very strong with me. So when we moved from Colombia at the age of 15, I went to high school for 2 years, and that was a huge new experience for me.
Had to be culture shock for
you. It was very much culture shock. I was just learning English at the time.
Okay.
And even though my dad had studied, he had attended university here in the U.S. when he was a young man.
Okay.
I wasn't able to get a lot of help with the college application process or anything like that. I was kind of on my own, and I was proud of myself that I was able to get accepted to UC Davis. And I ended up studying community nutrition because it allowed me to use both like my scientific side and my social science side, which I enjoy so much. It's like I totally dig science and math and, you know, chemistry and all that, but all right. I really love social sciences. So anyway, I studied community nutrition, and it was the perfect entryway to then have a career in public health.
Okay.
After studying at UC Berkeley with my master's in public health, I started a career in public service. So first I worked in Santa Clara County, then I worked in Contra Costa County, right, pretty much doing hunger alleviation. We wanted to prevent anemia. We also wanted to prevent lead poisoning and obesity and diabetes. So that was sort of my entryway into public service. While I was doing that work, I got to know one of our Contra Costa County supervisors.
Okay.
And he appreciated what I was trying to do with policy change to make the world better for young people in our county. And he actually asked me to work for him.
Oh, wow.
So I went to work for John Joya in West Contra Costa County for 10 years, and I became his chief of staff. During that period of time, I learned so much about government.
I can imagine.
Everything from A to Z, like every county department, the relationships with cities, how cities work. I developed really important relationships with leaders from city to county to state to federal levels. And I also got to understand the regional context in which we exist. We are not an island city, whether it's San Ramon or the county. We exist in a region, the Bay Area. So after working for Supervisor Joya for 10 years, I realized that I wanted to serve regionally. And I had an opportunity to work for the Air District. The Bay Area Air Quality Management District. So I was their community engagement manager. And what I found most rewarding about that job is that I got to work with the environmental justice communities around the Bay Area, the communities that are currently being most impacted by pollution, by poor air quality. And getting to work with them, sitting at the table and bringing cultural humility to the table and to the agency so that we could really bring their voices forward. That was incredibly rewarding for me.
Wow.
So long story short, commuting to San Francisco for an hour and a half each way on BART was a bit much. And after a few, like 5 years at the Air District, I decided, you know what? It's time to come back home. And I've been having this sense, this need to come back to the community where I grew up, where I raised my three kids and where I've lived with my husband, and to bring all of this wealth of public service to my own community and help make San Ramon all that it can be.
So with that, would you say that's the driving factor for you making this particular run for city council right now?
Yes. You know, once I had a little more time in my hands without commuting so much and back in Contra Costa Public Health, I started taking a deep dive into the city. I started attending city council meetings and planning commission meetings and lots of other meetings and realizing, oh my goodness, there's a lot of need for someone with my background right here. And I started speaking up, and before I knew it, some of our current and former San Ramon leaders approached me and said, would you consider running for city council?
Wow.
And at that point, my brain wheels started turning, and it's like, oh my goodness, am I made for this? Can I do this?
And so you went through that process of no, not really, and then
exactly.
And then, okay.
and then I got to the place where I realized that pretty much my entire life has prepared me for this moment.
Wow.
That indeed I have what it takes, that I have the training, I have the experience, I understand government and governance and policymaking. And I believe that's exactly what city council candidates should have, the kind of experience that I have, so that they can truly serve from day one.
So that's a really good segue to where I kind of want to go, because this is a unique time for the San Ramon City Council with two vacant slots open, and really even in the greater context of it being the first district-based election. So each, I guess you would say, region within San Ramon having representation on the city council. But as you think about this new structure and you think about, you know, how you've seen San Ramon kind of evolve over the years, over your time living here, and you think about the future needs, which we'll definitely dive a little bit more into, those attributes that you speak of that are needed from our city council leaders, talk a little bit more about what you see. This, and from a leadership perspective, what type of leadership, what type of skill set do we need on our city council to address the new needs, the needs the average resident may not even be aware of for San Ramon?
Yeah, that's a really good question, because one of the things that I pointed out during the debate is that indeed we exist in a regional context.
Yes.
And San Ramon is impacted by what happens in the rest of the Bay Area.
Right.
Traffic, for example.
Oh, goodness.
Labor markets. So we happen to have representation from city council on some key regional bodies, like the Contra Costa Transportation Authority or the Metropolitan Transportation Commission, ABAG, the Association of Bay Area Governments, the Bay Area Management Air Quality Management District. And that, I believe that whoever sits on city council needs to understand that context,
right,
know what those agencies do and their power, and be able to represent our needs, to be able to really use it locally. So I believe that we need strong representation on regional bodies. I also believe that because the region is growing so much, we do need to welcome and accommodate new residents as they come to us. Affordable housing is a key thing. For example, the 4,500 home development at Bishop Ranch. In my view, we could have had a higher percentage of affordability. 15% translates to only 670 some odd housing units that are considered affordable. And just so your audience understands what affordability means in San Ramon, is what the average dental hygienist or, you know, folks like teachers in our community, what they make,
right,
is what's considered enough income to qualify for an affordable housing unit. So never mind anyone else that makes less than them, right? So we are going to struggle to house our community, even with the new units that we are proposing to build in the middle of town.
And I'm glad that you mentioned that, actually, because that was one of my questions that I was planning to ask a little bit later, but we can kind of get into it now. This whole City Walk master plan and the 4,500 units, I think there's like a 27-year plan with 200 units, between 200 to 300 units planned to be built every year over the next 27 years, which on its face sounds like a decent plan to accommodate growth. One of the challenges I know when I first moved here from the East Coast was really wrapping my head around what affordability meant in California versus the East Coast. I learned really, really early on, you know, if you want to save money, you kind of got to be further away, which was not ideal for me. You know, working in Dublin, I wanted to be able to have affordable housing or reasonably affordable housing close to where I work. So it is good that, you know, City Council is already thinking about the issue of growth and, you know, how are we going to have housing for all of these people? But to your point, you feel like when we thought about the master plan, there's just a lot we did not take into consideration, or we weren't aggressive enough in our scope to think about things like traffic? What about the pace that they're planning to build? Do you feel like 200 to 300 units a year is even enough to accommodate the growth?
You know, I think it remains to be seen how fast indeed they're able to pull this off. I think with COVID and the economic downturn, there's a lot that is up in the air. And if I were the Bishop Ranch developers, I would be wondering, you know, what am I actually going to be able to do? Because they probably will see fewer tenants in their office space because more people will be working from home. But if it is a very like a slow and gradual incorporation of new residents over a long period of time, I think as technologies evolve and improve for transportation, you know, different modes, the city may be able to absorb it without too much of a shock. But I still believe that that development as proposed had some holes.
Right.
And I'm quite concerned about schools. There was no contingency plan for what to do with the children that will live there.
And that's a really good point. That's because a lot of people that are migrating to San Ramon are bringing families with them. They're not necessarily just single people.
Right. So even though the vision is to house a lot of the younger professionals that may not have a family yet, because the units are planned to be, many of them are planned to be smaller units, I would be willing to bet that many people will be attracted and will bring their families and will have children in these smaller units. And the schools will be kind of scrambling with what to do next. You know, and as of now, there are no contingencies in the plan to help the school district with future needs as they may emerge. The school district right now projects declining enrollment. We don't know how accurate those projections will be moving forward.
So that's a really good place for us to insert a break, because I have a lot more questions I want to ask you in response to the debate. So we'll take a quick break, give everybody a chance to breathe, and then come back. Again, ladies and gentlemen, I'm sitting with Luz Gomez, who is running for the City Council District 1 San Ramon seat.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the show. Again, we're sitting here with candidate running for the City Council District 1 seat here in San Ramon, Luz Gomez. And Luz, before the break, we were starting to touch a little bit on your platform and some of the issues that you feel are important to San Ramon. I want to talk very briefly about the candidate you're running against, Scott Perkins, who is vying for his fifth term on the San Ramon City Council. You know, as you think about this particular election and, you know, your platform versus his and some of the issues that, you know, you would in your governance handle differently, what would you tell voters are some of the key differences they should keep in mind between you and Scott?
So thank you, Daniel. That's a very interesting question. As you mentioned, Scott Perkins has been in office for 17 years. He's seeking another term. He's running on feeling like the city's doing well fiscally. I've had the privilege of speaking with a couple of our former mayors who feel otherwise. The city used to have much more significant reserves, and during his time in office, the city's reserves have gone significantly down. And he recently voted to decrease our reserves from 40% to 36%.
So why did he do that?
That's a good question. I think sometimes the city gets consultants to make recommendations, and rather than really thinking a little bit more broadly and doing our own just common sense approach and assessment, the city council goes with what the consultant may recommend. So in this instance, I would have definitely pushed back and said, you know, we're in the middle of a pandemic. It doesn't make sense for us to be reducing our rainy day fund. I wish we had more money so we could potentially give mini grants to some deserving small businesses, but we're not really in a position to do that right now.
And because we're not in a position to do it, San Ramon as a city wasn't able to have the type of impact for small business, which is the lifeblood for the city. There's so many small businesses in the city. And then so many had to make that difficult decision to shut down where resources were not available for them.
Right. And, you know, the city did bring down some federal and state dollars. It was significant. Many of those dollars were in the form of loans rather than grants. And so some small businesses are now saddled with debt, whereas before they weren't. And so there's some like pluses and minuses that come with that. But another difference is that I pride myself on listening to the community and encouraging community engagement. What I have personally observed and what several residents have told me is that they feel a sense of that there's condescending comments being made at the city council when they show up and make a comment, that my opponent oftentimes dismisses public comments and doesn't really listen to the community. So that would be a huge difference because that is what I pride myself on. I love to listen to all sides. I love to welcome the community and make them feel heard. I think that is super important for a city council. The city would notice a difference right away. There are examples of a few development proposals where my opponent basically completely dismissed the community's concerns and went forth and voted either abstained or voted for the project that the community really did not want.
So it's really dangerous to hinge so much of your candidacy on fiscal outcome of a city just because, you know, challenges come like COVID-19. COVID-19 wasn't on anybody's radar. And it sounds like, you know, if I could summarize, a big difference for you is that you would say you're more people oriented. Like you do care about fiscal strength of San Ramon. But you also recognize that a city is only as good as its people. And if the people's needs aren't being at least listened to and responded to, then, you know, you really don't have community. You just have a group of people.
Exactly. And my sense is that a lot of residents feel that they don't even know what's happening at City Hall. They don't even know what proposals are coming down the pike. And I think the city council has not been proactive enough in getting the word out to residents about key decisions that the city council will be making. As I'm talking to residents during the campaign, I'm realizing, did you hear about the Costco gas station that's coming in across from Costco? You know, and they're like, no, I had no idea.
I didn't even know about that.
I know. And it's a proposal. It hasn't been approved yet, but I happened to hear about it by happenstance because I was listening in and tuning in, but it wasn't even on the website at that point. So transparency, I think, is something that's been lacking, and residents are telling me this as well. And then, frankly, a vision. I have a vision. I have articulated it. I've put it on my website. I have a lovely video up now that explains what my vision is for San Ramon. And I keep searching for my opponent's vision, and I still have not found it.
Wow. There's some other differences, and you know, we probably don't have enough time in this forum to kind of go through them, but there are two things from the debate, two takeaways that I want to kind of give you time to talk through. One of the things you had mentioned on the question of social justice, if I could paraphrase it in a certain way, what should San Ramon's response be in light of all of the social unrest? Not just to address the present unrest, but like what are some of the things we need to think about as a community to address the broader topic of social justice? And one of the things that you mentioned at the very end of your answer, and I wish they gave you guys more than 90 seconds, was having San Ramon become a part of GARE, the Government
Alliance
for racial equity. Do you mind talking to us a little bit about who GARE is and what you see as the benefits of San Ramon becoming a part of that alliance?
Absolutely. So GARE, Government Alliance for Racial Equity, is an organization that has been helping governments to address race inequity. They do trainings of everyone in an organization, in a government entity, and they encourage the government to rethink how they do everything from A to Z so that they are looking at their actions through the lens of equity. At the Air District, for example, we had joined GARE while I was still there, and I was starting to see some really positive changes happening. we started to examine everything from our hiring practices to see how much our own staff reflected the community that we served, to how we did open houses, how we did public speaking opportunities, how we did everything. So when a government entity enters into GARE and becomes a member, it basically helps to bring equity to the surface, to make it something that everyone is thinking about and considering. And you make the unconscious conscious. And we tend to have, everybody has biases.
Right.
And many of them are unconscious.
Right.
So we need to realize this and accept it. It's just a matter of being human. It's a fact of being human. But we can bring it to consciousness and we can act differently. And I would love the city of San Ramon to be the first Tri-Valley city to join the Government Alliance for Racial Equity.
So really, in essence, being proactive as these issues arise, as opposed to being reactive, which seems to even from a, you know, take a step back and look at just America as a whole, as we deal with issues regarding race and racial justice, we tend to be more reactive than proactive. So I'm all for anything that can help the city adopt a more proactive approach. Something else from the debate that I do want to kind of take a couple of minutes to talk about that we really didn't get a chance to get into, and I know every San Ramon resident is going to be like, huh, is climate change, which to some people is a dirty word, and to other people's, it's like, no, it's very prevalent. As you think about the city council's role in establishing policies related to climate change, and even in the backdrop of California, which has had fires on one side, earthquakes on another, and all sorts of issues in between, what does climate change mean to you? And what do you foresee as things city councils can do to prepare and respond to its challenge?
Oh, thank you for that question. Yes, indeed. I had hoped that it would be one of the questions during the debate, and I mentioned it briefly. To me, climate change is one of the biggest dilemmas that every jurisdiction, cities, counties, states, and on up are facing and will be facing increasingly as we move forward. We are already seeing the impacts of climate change. We have already bought ourselves sea level rise. We are already going to be seeing more flooding. And over, as time goes on, there will be houses and infrastructure that's going to be hugely impacted by that. In San Ramon, what the city can do is look at our own greenhouse gas emissions and what we can do to reduce them, both as a city, in terms of the jurisdiction itself, the government itself, and then as our residents. So having worked at the Air District and having helped to put together the regional climate protection strategy, there are so many strategies and so many things that we could do. For example, there's a solar ordinance that makes it so that every new house in San Ramon would be required to have solar panels, not just be solar ready. We also need to have more infrastructure for charging electric vehicles, and we can leverage funding from many organizations, including the Air District and others, to make that happen. We need to be joining regional efforts to decrease individuals' carbon footprints. So, for example, there's something called the Clean Contra Costa Challenge. If we could have our own city government encourage residents to go and join that challenge, we could all realize how many little changes we could do in our own lives and lifestyles to bring down our carbon footprint. There's something called the consumption-based inventory of greenhouse gases, which basically tells us that San Ramon is among some of the highest greenhouse gas emitters per capita based on our consumption.
I did not even know that. Wow.
And that's because we are quite wealthy enclave in the Bay Area. And because of that, I think it behooves us. It's almost like we need to be doing even more than the average community. So I want to inform residents. I want to encourage residents and motivate us to do all that we can. I don't know if you knew, but we have a climate action plan. It's been sitting there since 2011, not being updated and not much happening with it. My intention is to revamp that climate action plan with input from residents. And I want to create a sustainability commission that would not only update the plan, but also oversee its implementation over time.
For your committee, is this something that you see could happen, let's say, within the first 2 years?
Absolutely. I mean, I would like to propose it probably on my first, you know, city council meeting. And then if it gets on the agenda soon after that, it becomes something that the whole city council would need to agree to. But I'm hopeful that more and more people are realizing that indeed climate action happens at the local level. And we need to be thinking about every possible thing that we can do. There's something called decarbonizing building. It's sort of a technical term, but it basically means existing buildings account for the second highest emissions in greenhouse gases in the Bay Area. So we need to figure out how to retrofit our buildings so that they're more energy efficient, so that they don't consume natural gas, so that their GHGs associated with the housing and with the buildings goes way down. So those are the kinds of things that I'm passionate about, that I definitely believe a city can do a lot about. And we could lead the region with policies that others can then follow.
Right. Well, this is really good. We're going to have to fit in a quick break. And then what I want to come back and do, I want to give you about 2 minutes to just kind of sum up our whole conversation and talk to the voters. So let's insert a quick break and then we'll come right back. Again, we're sitting with Luz Gomez, who is running for the District 1 City Council seat here in San Ramon. Keep it tuned here.
Steven.
Who said that?
Me, down here.
Ugh, what are you, a yellow booger?
I'm a banana slug, Steven.
What are you doing in my room?
I'm your sense of adventure. It's been a long time since we've had an adventure in the forest.
Mom took me to the forest last year.
I'm a slug, Steven. It took me a long time to get here.
You're right. I should get out.
Yeah, the forest is not that far away.
Hey, Mom!
Come to the forest where the more adventurous you lives. Check out discovertheforest.org for cool places nearby. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
So welcome back. We're almost up against our 30-minute deadline, and I want to reserve some time for our guest to give her last-minute appeal to you guys. But before she gets into it, I do want to, again, thank you, Luz, for taking the opportunity to come on this show and really come before the voters and allowing us to meet you and hear more about your candidacy and your platform. If you guys listening feel any sort of way that I feel, there is no other choice for our District 1 City Council position here in San Ramon. And Luz, it has been an honor. It has been an honor getting to know you and your platform. And with the time that we have remaining, I want to give you an opportunity to speak to your constituents. So, ladies and gentlemen, Luz Gomez.
Thank you, Daniel. And again, thank you for this opportunity. I am thrilled to have met you and to have this chance. So to our my fellow residents in San Ramon, what I have to say is this. If you are looking for someone with a vision for our future, with a vision that will protect future generations from climate change and from congestion and growing way too fast, way too much, then vote for me, because that is what I'm about. I have the right background. I've worked in government for many years. I've been working in community engagement. And my goal is to get you guys engaged, to get you to speak, to come to the table, and to be part of the solution. We need everybody's bright minds to make the difference that we need to happen. I cannot do it alone. But I promise you that you would be at the table, you would have a voice, and I would be there for you to speak about your values and what you care about. In terms of my priorities, I want to protect public health and safety, of course, as we emerge from this pandemic. I want to promote balanced growth. I want to support small businesses. They've been hurt badly by this recession. I also want to expand our parks and open spaces. I want to promote sustainability. Transportation, I want less traffic, better transit options, more bike and pedestrian infrastructure. And I want to balance our budget so that our rainy day fund goes up, not down. Seniors are super important to me. I want to make sure that they have the services and the transportation that they need. Arts and culture, super important. Transparency, must have. If you want someone that has these values and wants this for San Ramon, please vote for Luz Gomez this November.
And that is indeed going to do it. Again, Luz, I could not be more grateful for having you come on as tight and as busy as your schedule is. Thank you again for doing this sit down. Ladies and gentlemen of San Ramon, you know what to do. November 3rd, let's do our part. Tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend to go out and vote. And let's elect Luz Gomez as our District 1 City Council member for San Ramon. And for wherever you are, whether you're in or out of California listening to this show, make sure you do
your public service and duty, and make sure you vote wherever you live, not just for president, not just for congressional races or state races, but ballot initiatives and any measures that make your voice heard. The more you make your voice heard, the more you are exercising not just your right, but your power as a voter. So I implore everyone, if you haven't yet registered to vote, we know we're coming up against the deadline with less than a month to go. Go register to vote. Go register to vote. There's no excuse. If you are able to vote, go vote. Your voice, your power is needed in this election. So ladies and gentlemen, that's it for this edition. Again, hit us up on the website. Let us know what you think. www.theteam.media or on social media, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at The Team LLC. I always love to hear your comments, thoughts about this show and about ideas for future shows. We hope to have more candidates on in the coming week, so definitely stay connected to us for that. So that's it for today. Until next week, ladies and gentlemen, remember, be good to yourselves and each other. Peace.